Today we're looking at the title is Thanksgiving for the Invisible. Thanksgiving for the Invisible. When we say Thanksgiving, we mean giving thanks. That's what we mean by Thanksgiving. Giving thanks. Can we give thanks for what's invisible? The text is 2 Corinthians 4:13 and 18, which we've read. And Paul is talking a bit about himself, but he's also talking about us. And let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, along with those of the Old Testament who sometimes could see the hordes of angels, the armies of God that were surrounding them, preparing to fight their battles for them. May we, Lord, also by the eyes of faith, see what is invisible and so important. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, let's look at a little bit before that. 2 Corinthians 4. So Paul's talking first of all about the truth, okay, and how the gospel's coming through the apostles, not as an opinion or something for their benefit. Again, yeah, like they're going to be tortured to death pretty soon in this world. You know, we think the gospel and the Bible and God, they're here to make our lives great on earth. No. I would think then that Jesus, who is the greatest, would have had an awesome, I don't know, castle or something then, right? And all kinds of servants. And the apostles, they should have retired in Tahiti or something. I don't know where. If that's what the truth of the Bible and God and Christianity and the gospel is. But no, Jesus died a death of shame, of torture and shame, and as a righteous man, but unrighteously, unjustly killed. The apostles, almost all of them, suffered and died unjustly. And many in Christianity have suffered and died as they stood for the truth. We see the first martyr in the book of Acts. Was it Philip, the first martyr? Stephen, thank you. Stephen, first martyr. But no, Christianity is not about making your life on earth perfect. And so the first thing Paul talks about in there in chapter 4, he's talking about we don't lose heart, okay? We've renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Look, we commend ourselves by the truth, okay, not by our own abilities or anything, but by the truth we speak. But, you know, the truth that we speak, it's hidden. It's hidden. Even though it's plain, it's in plain sight. It's hidden, it's veiled. He says in verse 3, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Some people think there are multiple ways to heaven, but that's not true. This is just the good news. That's all there is. That's the only way. There's one way, it's Jesus. And without that good news, you're dying, you're perishing. In whose case, the case of these people who have the gospel hidden from them, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord and ourselves as your slaves, your bondservants. You see, like Jesus said, it's not going to be for you like it is for the world, where the rulers lord it over the people they're ruling over. But if you want to be great in the kingdom, you will be a servant. And that's what Paul says of himself and the other apostles. We're bond servants. We're your slaves. For Jesus' sake. Why? For Jesus' sake. You know, we're not your slave for you. We're your slave for Jesus. My favorite way to sign off on a letter is to say, your servant for Jesus. You see, it's not like I'm serving you for you. I'm serving you for Jesus. That's why I'm serving you. You don't deserve it. But Jesus deserves me to serve you. Your servant. See, we ourselves are your bondservants for Jesus' sake. See that? For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. It's God who gave it to us. We didn't earn it. We didn't figure it out. But God shone in our hearts, Paul says. Paul can really specifically talk about that. His testimony is that he was going from place to place to kill Christians, and then just the light of Jesus shone on him, you know, and he was converted. But verse 7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Okay? So that knowledge shown in our hearts, I like to think of it as the Spirit coming into us, right? And giving us illumination. Not just a light, a knowledge, but that the Spirit comes in. And we have this treasure of knowledge from the Spirit, okay? In earthen vessels. That's our bodies. Dust, right? From dust to dust. Man, you came from dust and you will return to dust. Or as the band says, jars of clay. We have this treasure in jars of clay or earthen vessels. That's where the band got their name, the Jars of Clay Band, right? From this verse. So that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. Our power is not from ourselves. We're just earthen vessels. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus. Yeah. We're just following his footsteps. We're dying. So that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. So that in our body is the life of Jesus displayed, right? Even though we're dying. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. He's basically saying the same thing again. So death works in us, but life in you. And so, even though we're dying, okay, that's resulting in life in you. You are receiving life through God's efforts in us. Verse 13. So this is the text now. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak. He's quoting from Psalm 116. And so he's saying, we don't just believe and then stop there. We believe and then out it comes out of our mouth. And I like to think of confession. When I say confession, I'm talking about stating your confession, okay? Like a confession of faith, okay? Not confessing sin, but confessing faith as part of your belief, basically, okay? There are actions that come from faith, okay? But confession is really just an aspect of your belief. It's so tied up closely with your belief. You believe and then you speak, okay? The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Also, it says that out of the heart comes the issues of life. Also, it says out of the heart come the things that defile you. It's not the things you put in your mouth that defile you, but what comes out of your heart. So the point is, it's from your heart, all these things. And so he says that we have the same spirit of faith. We believe, and therefore we speak. Right? What comes out of our mouth is from the heart, knowing that, verse 14, he who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and will present us with you. So, the main thing that the apostles preached about, obviously belief, but in what? In the resurrection, right? The resurrection was a central theme of their sermons in throughout the book of Acts, every sermon. So, Jesus will raise, he who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and will present us with you. We're all going to be there at the same time, raised from the dead. For all things are for your sakes. Paul says, I'm not in this for me. I'm in this for you. Okay? I'm in this for you. All things are for your sakes, so that grace, having spread to more and more people, will cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. So this is the theme here that I'm looking at, is that Paul is emphasizing a need for thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God about this invisible thing, right? The light that's shown in your heart to give the understanding of Jesus who's the image of God, okay? And the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ, okay? That Jesus is the embodiment of God, and that knowledge is in us by the Spirit, and then we speak as a result of that. But it's all about the dying and the resurrection of Jesus. So as this grace spreads to more and more people, there's thanksgiving overflowing for this invisible thing that happens to people as the gospel spreads. So verse 16, look at this. Therefore, we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart, right? Look back at verse 1 in chapter 4. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we do not lose heart. Right? He's coming back and saying that same thing, okay? And, you'd have to go back and read the whole Bible, the whole book. The second letter to the Church of Corinthians, the Church of Corinth, and chapter 3, he's talking about this new covenant, okay? Just the beauty of this new covenant, okay? And the freedom of it, right? And how Moses, he came off the mountain and he was glowing with this light in his face. And he put a veil over it to shield it so that they wouldn't see how it's getting dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. And he says the old covenant is getting dimmer and dimmer and poof, going, about to fade away, he says, Paul says. And the Jews, they read Moses and there's a veil over them, okay? But that's removed when a person turns to the Lord, that veil. That's chapter 3, okay? But like I said, because of this great new covenant ministry that we have, with the Holy Spirit shining into our hearts, and the good news about Jesus being raised from the dead, okay? We're not losing heart. We're not losing heart. Because even though we're crushed, but we're not, we're, we're, I mean, we're not, we're, even though we're, as we said in verse 7, okay, even though we're afflicted, we're not crushed, we're perplexed but not despairing, we're persecuted but not forsaken, we're struck down but not destroyed. So we're not losing heart, because it's not about the outside. It's not about the visible, it's about the invisible. We're going to be thanksgiving, giving thanks to God, to His glory, for the spread of the grace of the gospel and shining into the hearts of men and women. So we do not lose heart, verse 16. But though our outer person is decaying, boy, I'm looking at the mirror lately, I'm saying to myself, this is patch over here. I need to go to the dermatologist. and there's all these age spots on my face now. I'm decaying. I remember one of these outer limits or something, I forget, where this spaceship crashes and somebody gets near it and then there's stuff growing all over them. I mean, sin is like this plague that's killing our bodies, you know, the curse is there. And so we're suffering, but no, we're not going to be destroyed. Okay. People are going to see Jesus in our bodies, even as they're being, destroyed in a sense, decaying. So we don't lose heart, but though our outer person is decaying, yet our inner person, that's an invisible thing, right? Sometimes when it says heart in the Old Testament, it actually says kidney, okay? There's different parts of the body that people have used, or God has used, and people have used to refer to your innermost being, okay? But again, it's invisible. We're talking about the innermost being. It says here, yet our inner person is being renewed day by day. It doesn't mean my liver is being renewed, right? Or our kidneys, right? We know people here on our prayer list that need a kidney or they need a liver, right? And they're maybe not able to get it, maybe they can. But that's not the inner person that's being renewed. It's an invisible thing that's being renewed day by day. Verse 17. For our momentary light affliction. That's what it is. Paul said, you haven't yet suffered to the point of bloodshed. You haven't been persecuted in that way, at least yet. Most people won't have to suffer that way for Christ. But there are some who do and have suffered the bloodshed and even the death and torture for Christ. But for most of us, it's momentary light affliction. Really, if you think about it, Paul did suffer bloodshed. Maybe he's talking about himself. Oh, he is. For our momentary light affliction. So he's actually including bloodshed in that. You know what Paul's been through, right? Shipwrecks and torture, left for dead. They thought he was dead, the crowd. And the other believers had to pick him up off the ground with a shovel practically and take him and get him fixed up. You know, one place he was let out of down in a basket to escape, the crowd and through a wall. And he's been through it all. But he says that's just momentary light affliction. It's producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. It's beyond compare. Compare the two. Compare your light affliction in this world with the eternal weight of glory that is being produced. And, you know, you say, well, I thought Jesus did it all for us. Well, he did, but he's also got good works planned for you that he's doing in you, and you will be rewarded. But then ultimately, when we enter his presence, we'll say, it's all yours. Thank you. But it will still be rewarded. So there's an eternal weight of glory that is being produced in us, for us, through light affliction, which, as I said, might not be so light, you might say. Well, yeah, But it is by comparison. When you, he says it's beyond comparison to the eternal weight of glory. Somebody in here, Teresa, posted this thing about what's a thousand, what's a million, what's a billion. And I said, well, what about a trillion, you know? Oh, my, that's like 30,000 years. And, yeah, it's like we can't even understand those ratios. It's so huge. $1 trillion? You know, someone said that. Yeah, I agree. I was thinking the same thing. Trillion. What is a trillion? You got to divide it by the population of the United States just to get a handle on it, you know. And a trillion divided by 300-something million is 3,000. So a trillion is 3,000 per person. That's one way to get a handle on a trillion. You divide by another big number and get it in another scale that way. But that's a lot. A trillion's a lot. That's 3,000 per person. That's 12,000 per family of four. That's what a trillion debt is. Right? Am I right? Did I calculate that right? Some mathematician check it for me. Doug's like, my brain's not working this morning. forgive me if that number's not right, but I think that's right. So, yes, that's right. So it's just the scale is just so immense by comparison. If you can think of a trillion, then you can think of how this glory is immense. It's beyond comparison. It's a weight of glory. Wow, a weight. A weight of glory. It's heavy. Verse 18. While we look, not at the things which are seen. You know? So, the thanksgiving from verse 15 is about grace spreading. And we're looking at that. Things that are eternal. Things that are happening that are invisible. So look at verse 18 again. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. That just means they're, you could just say it means it's temporary. Okay. It just means it's in time. It's something in this time that ends. It's temporal. It's of the time. Contemporary means of the time. And temporal means of time. But the things which are not seen are eternal. They're eternal. They go on. They're weighty and eternal and going forever. So, there's where our thanksgiving should head. Now, that doesn't mean we're not thankful for the temporal things that we're grateful for. And we are grateful for those things. And we thank God all the time for those things. But, you know, we can lose those things tomorrow. And some of those things we have lost, like our minds, if we're old, or our ability to get up out of bed without groaning, you know. Man, it gets harder and harder to get out of bed to back. Oh, boy. And you used to be able to sleep, but now your shoulder hurts. And then so you roll over on the other side, and then your nose clogs. And then there's a neck pain because of the pillow being not quite right. And then you finally go to sleep, and boom, you up, and you're like, oh, well, and then it's the lower back. So, you know, you've got all kinds of aches and pains. And that's just some minor thing, really, by comparison to other things that may be going on. But we don't want to look at these things. Let's just read it again. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart. You know, when we look at all the things that we're suffering through, we might be prone to lose heart. Because they are hard. But he says, they're momentary and light. By comparison. But don't lose heart, for though your outer person is decaying, yet our inner person is being renewed day by day. We're talking about this invisible light. When we say that light shone in our hearts, right? It's not a visible light. When Paul was saved, there was a visible light, okay? But that's not the way most of us receive Jesus, right? It's with an invisible light that shines into our hearts. And so the truth, the Spirit, shines into our hearts. The Spirit of truth. So we don't lose heart, but though our outer person is decaying, yet our inner person is being renewed day by day. For our momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. And I don't mean that our body aches are creating this weight of glory, but the affliction related to the spread of the gospel, okay? Our affliction related to fulfilling our roles in life for other people. He says, everything's for your sake, you people in Corinth, you church. Paul says, I'm here for your sake. I have to suffer affliction for you so that you can live. I'm dying so you can live, just like Jesus died. Elsewhere, Paul says, I'm filling up what's lacking in Jesus' suffering. That doesn't mean that Jesus' suffering wasn't enough to save you, but it means that there's more suffering that's got to be done to get the gospel to you. And Paul's doing that. I'm suffering so you can have life. And then we suffer so others can have life. So we speak according to what we believe. We believe in the resurrection. We believe that there is something invisible in the future. I believed, verse 13, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus. This is the invisible. The resurrection is a future invisible thing that will have a visible aspect, but it's life. Life is, I mean, what is life? It's invisible in a sense, but the good news is invisible. The Spirit is, he is invisible. And so we're suffering, but it's just momentary light affliction producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. This is temporary. The invisible is eternal. This spread of the God's grace will cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thanks, Lord, for the true source of thanksgiving, which is the spread of your word, your Spirit into hearts, and the knowledge of God in the face of Christ. And Heavenly Father, the fact that, Lord, there's a weight of glory awaiting us as we suffer light affliction in this world. Heavenly Father, may we focus on the invisible and so many other invisible things that are so worthwhile, that are related. And we'll praise you, Lord, as we see you at work, and we ask in Jesus' name, amen.